I wrote the wrong reference down right away, but this is John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given here again. Thank you for bringing each one of us here. And we ask a special blessing on this meeting that you would open up your word to the people who are sitting here that we might hear it. Amen. All right, so we're going to read a number of verses out of okay, never mind. I didn't even write this reference down. That's okay. My notes confused me, but I'm unconfused now. So, John chapter 3, we're going to read the story of Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That wasn't true, because actually the Antichrist and the beast under the working of Satan are going to do miracles just like Jesus did when they come. But anyway, that's what he said. We know that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All right, so Jesus taught this Pharisee named Nicodemus a new thing that he had never heard in his life before. Because all these Jews, they had and believed the Old Testament, and they thought they were listening to the things of the Old Testament, but they weren't very, very well listening. They were listening to pieces of it, but not the most important pieces of it. So they thought they knew God. But what they failed to do was they failed to ever have a relationship with God where they, through the work of the Spirit of God, became children of God. They failed to do that, and this is what Jesus says to Nicodemus when he comes to him and begins to ask him questions, or just to talk to him. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus doesn't understand Jesus' statement. So he says, "How can a man be born when he is old?" That is kind of a question. We have a couple of pregnant ladies in the front of the church here, and they have this little bump on the front of them. There's a baby inside of there. You children, listen carefully now. I'm teaching you something really important. Inside these little bumps on the front of these ladies, there's a little baby in there. When that baby comes out, it's going to be a teeny little thing that you can hold in your hands. I still don't know how it fits in there, but it does, all curled up in a ball. And now Jesus comes to this man that looks something like me. The only thing he was probably different in is he probably had a big, ugly beard. And Jesus says to this man, "You have to be born again." And the man says, "Now wait a minute, do I have to get back in my mom's tummy and get born the second time before I can be saved?" He thought Jesus had gone quacky when he said that. He didn't know what he was talking about. And so Jesus teaches him this truth. He said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now I want you guys to come up here to this table. I want to show you some things. When God created the world, he made everything that he gave life to have the ability to reproduce itself. And different things, we don't have to go into all the different things that happen here, but different things reproduce in different ways. But in the animal world, where we have people and animals, it's pretty much the same way, that if a mama and a daddy skunk have a baby together, they are going to get a little thing that looks just like them. Okay, it's going to have this white stripe on its head. It's going to have white stripes down its back. It's going to have white stripes down its tail. It's going to be black. It's going to have four legs. It's going to have two eyes. It's going to have a wet nose. It's going to have little claws on its toes. And it's going to do the same thing that mommy and daddy did. It's going to search for garbage and bugs to eat. And it's going to dig holes under buildings to make a home for itself to live in. And these skunks could live for 10,000 years if God let them. He doesn't. But if they live for 10,000 years and have babies every year, every single time these skunks had a baby, it would look just like mommy and daddy. Now, that isn't always true, because when the mommy and the daddy deer have a baby, their baby doesn't look like them. It comes out all spotted. You know why it comes out all spotted? Because that's how mommy and daddy both were when they were babies. It comes out just like mommy and daddy came out. And then it grows up to be just like mommy or daddy, depending on if it is a girl deer or a boy deer. It grows up to look just like mommy or daddy. If it's a boy deer, it's going to get horns on its head like daddy does. And if it's a mama deer, it's going to chase the boys around. And it does whatever mommy and daddy did. And you have, I looked for a chicken. I wanted to bring some chickens, but I couldn't find any good chickens to bring. But you know, when a really colorful rooster and a red hen have a baby chick, that baby chick comes out yellow. Just yellow. Yellow fluff. And then it begins to grow, and then it develops, and it gets the colors that mommy and daddy had, and its feathers come out. And we have things in creation like dogs. Arf! When we don't know of any other kind of skunk than this kind, okay? They're black and white, and they all look alike. But dogs don't all look alike. They come out, they're quite different. There's quite a bit of difference in dogs. But when a dog has a baby, that baby has both a father and a mother. And that dog will get characteristics from its father and its mother, and it will mix those characteristics together and become somewhat like daddy and somewhat like mommy. But it will still be a dog. And for the rest of the history of time, we can take thousands of breeds of dogs, and we can have these dogs have all the babies in the world of every kind that they can ever want or have, and they will all be dogs. We will never, ever, 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 ever in history get a baby skunk from a pair of dogs. All right? So, this giraffe is all spotted. It's sort of yellowish, and it's got brown spots on it. And when this giraffe has a baby, that baby giraffe is going to look just like its mother and father. It's going to grow long legs. It's going to have a long neck. It's going to struggle to drink water. It's going to have to do silly things when it eats and drinks. But it's going to be just like its mother. Now, in this big book of horses, if you turn pages, you guys come over to the front for a minute so we can show this all these horses to everybody. If you look through this big book of horses all throughout this book, lots and lots and lots and lots of different kinds of horses. Ah, that's a cute one. What I want you guys to all do when you get home, I want you guys to tell your mom and your dad that you need horses to be able to learn about the things of God, okay? This will help teach you, so you go all tell your parents to get you a horse, all right? That's part of our day today. So we're going to ask for horses when we get home. Look at that cute one. If we get all these horses and we mix them all up and they have all sorts of baby horses, you know what they're going to get? They're going to all have horses. That's all they're ever going to have is horses. You want a horse? The same thing is true about seeds. When you get a plant, this is rye. We can plant these seeds in the ground, and it will bring a little grassy-looking plant up that eventually will put a head out that has grain on the top, and it will make more of these rye berries. And if you take those rye berries and you plant those rye berries, you'll get more rye. And till the rest of time goes, these seeds will produce a plant that will produce more berries like itself for the rest of time, but it will only ever be rye. Now, when the meeting is over, I'm going to give each of you guys a little cup of these rye berries that you can take home with you, and you can plant them. Okay? And you can watch the rye grow. But right now, this is all we're going to do. This is all we're going to do at the table. You guys can sit back down and sit very still and listen, because what I'm going to teach this morning is very important. If you guys want to sit in the front row, you may, but you have to sit quiet and be good. Okay? If you guys want to hold a stuffed animal, you guys can hold a stuffed animal. Now, the fun is over. Now we're just going to listen, okay? What Jesus said to Nicodemus was, you cannot go to heaven unless you were born to be something different than you are by nature. Now listen very carefully. What gets born when we are humans? When we get born, we are born inheriting the nature of our parents. When we inherit the nature of our parents, we are born sinners. When we inherit the nature of our parents, we are barred from God's presence and cannot go to heaven. We cannot have eternal life. We are condemned by the law of God to his judgment because we were born sinners, because our parents were sinners, and we came out like them. And so God had a complete bar between us and him because he's holy and doesn't allow sin. So the way that we got born, we were born already separated from God as sinners because we inherited from our parents that nature of sin. So Jesus says to Nicodemus that if anybody wants to go to heaven, they have to be born again. And Nicodemus got confused about that. He wondered how he could fit back in his mom's tummy to get born. But Jesus said, no. If you were born, you could be born 1,000 times from your parents and you would still be flesh. You have to be born of God if you want to go to heaven. You have to become not a sinner by being redeemed by God and being born of the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to be made into something that is holy, that comes from God if you want to be with God. This is true about every person that has ever existed on earth, starting with Adam's and Eve's children in the Garden of Eden. Every single person who was ever born on earth was born as a sinner, grew up to be a sinner just like their parents were a sinner, and there is no hope of those people ever having a relationship with God as a sinner because God does not allow sin. He has always been holy. From all the time he has existed in all of eternity, he has always been holy. And he's not changing anything now because sin is destructive and horrible and evil and it hurts people and he won't allow it. He won't look at it. He hates it. So there's no hope for human beings to ever have a relationship with God unless they were to become the children of God by being born again. Now, the Bible teaches us some things about this that are very important to learn because we now have churches scattered across this country right now. Millions and millions of people who call themselves Christians, who confess that Jesus is God's Son, who believe that he died on the cross for their sins, and they are religious, but not born again. And they pay no attention to the things that God says in the scripture that are the way in which we get born again. So we're going to go through some scriptures and we are going to identify some of the things that God says that will be so in the life of a person that is born again, or he says some things about how to be born again. So first off, we're right here in the third chapter of John, so we'll start right here. We'll look at a couple of things he said. So as he's speaking to Nicodemus here, he told Nicodemus that he had to be born again, and he's going to tell Nicodemus some more things about this. And he's going to refer back to a time in the Old Testament when there were serpents in the camp. These snakes were biting people, and God came to Moses, and he told Moses to go make a serpent out of brass. And Moses made this serpent out of brass and put it on a pole. And God told the people that any time a snake bit them, that all they had to do was look at that serpent that was on that pole, and they would not die, and they would not be hurt by the poison of that snake. Because people in the camp were dying. Now, can you imagine If you got bit by a snake, a snake that we knew was poisonous and it was endangering your life, what would you do? We would quickly get you to a doctor, and they would give you a shot or whatever they would do to fight that specific poison to try to save your life. But back here in Israel, God gave Moses something different for them to do, where they didn't need to see a doctor. They didn't need any medical intervention at all. All they had to do was they just simply had to turn and they had to look at this snake that was hanging on a pole. And when they looked, they lived. That was all. They were immediately healed by the hand of God from the snake bite when they looked at the snake on the pole. And so Jesus says to this man in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He's talking about when he dies on the cross now. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So this is the very first thing that we're going to look at. What Jesus said, if you are going to be born again, not from your parents, or from a dog or a horse or any other thing like that. If you're going to be born again, you're going to have to look to this Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus the Christ, hanging on that cross, taking your place and dying for your sins. And when you believe on him, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's all. That's the end of the story. It's as simple as you are a sinner, born in sin, like your parents who were sinners, and now you want to become a child of God. And God says, "Okay, so this is how I'm going to make you one of my sons. It's going to be through that man, my son, hanging on that cross there. If you'll believe in him, you'll be saved." Just like that. Now, the first thing that's wrong in modern teaching in many, many, many churches is that they don't believe these words. They do not believe that believing on Jesus is the way of salvation. They actually believe that they need to work a whole bunch of things and do a whole bunch of things and be good enough so that God will accept them. Now, the truth is, those teachings are found in the scriptures, but not in the way that they are taught by people who are not saved. Because if the way to God is by being good, then believing on Jesus has no place. And these people who believe that if I'm a good boy, or if I'm a good girl, or if I do the right things, or if I'm holy enough, God will accept me, they don't ever come to God as a sinner that wasn't good enough to go to heaven. They come to God as a good person that is hopefully good enough to go to heaven. And they come to God with their own righteousness and present to God their works and say to God, "See, I did this, I've done this, I do this, I read the Bible, I go to church, I pray, I've been baptized." And they present these things to God and say, "Now God, take me to heaven because I've served you." And God rejects every single one of those inquiries for heaven. He doesn't accept any of them. The only people that get accepted and get saved is when they come to God and they say to God, "I have no righteousness. I was born of the flesh and I am a sinner." And then when they come to God and say, "God, I want Jesus and his blood to cover my sin," then God takes that person and that person is born again, not of the flesh, but of God. Let's read in John chapter 1. I think just for the context of this, I'll read the first 13 verses of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word." This is Jesus now. The Word is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, that is John. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. All right, we can't put it any clearer than that. Verse 13, we'll read this one yet. Which were born not of blood, not did come from your parents this time, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who come to God through Jesus Christ and believe on the name of Jesus Christ become born again, another birth, not from their parents, but from God, where the Spirit of God takes this person and he makes them to be a son of God. Now, the interesting thing is, we can go into the scriptures and we can find this new birth connected with righteous works. Not lying. In fact, I find in the scriptures that somebody who claims to be born of God or to be a Christian who does not live a holy life is wrong in their profession and not one of the sons of God. So if it is so that to be one of the sons of God, you have to be a holy person, then why is it so wrong for people to teach that if you are going to be holy, that holiness is not the way to God? Well, let's think of it for a minute like this. I want you to imagine that those two skunks that we had up here haven't had a baby yet. But they sit on their living room couch under the barn, and they say to their baby, who hasn't been born yet, "Baby, eat garbage." And the baby doesn't listen because the baby hasn't been born yet. There is no way for a person to come into the presence of God through holiness unless they were as holy as God is holy. And since none of us were that holy because we were all born in sin and we all committed sin and we all lived in sin, since none of us were that holy, then there's no way for any person ever to come into the presence of God. But once we become made into one of God's children through the work of Jesus on the cross, and are made one of the sons of God, then God can say to us as a baby skunk, "Do this," and we can do the things that are of God because we had been born into that existence. All right? There is no ability that any human being on earth, you tell all your friends this that are seeking God, there is no ability for any human being on this earth to please God by doing something that they deem to be righteous unless they have first come to God through Jesus Christ. There is no way for a human being on this earth to please God through doing good things when they have not been born again. It is the first thing that every person has to do to get right with God, is we have to come to God and believe in Jesus, God's Son, who was hung on the tree, died for our sins, And when we look at him, we are healed. But I want to look at some of the rest of these verses in the scriptures because they're very important for us to understand what a Christian life looks like. And we'll go first to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll just read one verse here in verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All right. If you remember, it's blessed to see when you go through the scriptures how these books were written out by so many different people and how they all teach exactly the same thing because God was their author. If you remember, we go back to the first chapter of the book of John, which we just read from, and it starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Jesus that we talk about in the first chapter of the book of John, who's called the Word. Now Peter talks about being born again here in his letter that he wrote to the church. And he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now what I want to tell you something. We have to get this straight now. When we're talking about the Word of God, we're talking about Jesus, God's Son, the Christ, who is the living Word. But we are not talking about this book that we call the Holy Bible with 66 books together in line. We are also just as much talking about this book as we are talking about the eternal Son of God, because this book is the manifestation on paper of the living Word. So any time that we are going to talk about Jesus and exempt anything that is said in this book as though the two aren't the same, we have rejected the Jesus that is the Jesus of the book. And any time that we're going to look into this book and see the teachings of this book and accept the teachings of this book, we are accepting the Son of God, who is the living Word, who this book is written about. So when we read these words in 1 Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, the first thing that we're going to understand here about the new birth, being a child of God, being born again, being made into something that's not flesh, the first thing that we're going to have to understand about it is that in order to be that person that has that new birth and gets into that new state of being, that it is going to be according to the things that are written in this book. Anybody who wants to come to God on a different basis than what is written on this book is not coming to the God that is written about in this book. We come to God on God's terms, in God's way, to do God's will. In everything we come to God to do and to be exactly what He says. There's no exceptions. There is religion covering this earth right now of every kind, and many, many hundreds of denominations and styles of churches that say they believe in God and they believe in Jesus, but they reject the things that are written in the book, and they are not born again. Because if we are born again, we are going to be born again of the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. In this book, we will find the true doctrine about God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, and of the Spirit of God, who is instrumental of every conversion. And in this book, we will find their definition of sin, and their definition of righteousness, and their understanding of truth. And in this book, according to these words that are written in this book, if we're going to be born again, we are going to be born again of the words of this book. Now, the first thing, I'll say this very plainly. If anybody wants to seek God, and they seek Him through prayer, or through going to church, or through an experience, or through something other than this book, they're seeking the wrong thing. And if you want to be a Christian, and you live for God, and you haven't read this book through entirely, and you aren't continuing to read through it, and you aren't looking for the way that God wants you to be as it is written in this book, I can tell you right now, you probably are not a Christian. Because if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved by the God who wrote the Bible and who tells you certain things to do in the Bible. And there is no other sacrifice. There's no other way to heaven besides through the Jesus whose book this is. So anybody who's seeking God needs to seek God in here, because this is where you'll find God. Now, if you go to a church and the church teaches about God and they teach from the Bible, good. And if you go to God and you pray and you ask God for light, that's good. But all the things that we seek outside of the Word of God either need to agree with the Word of God or be rejected because of the Word of God. All right? Now, we go to the book of 1 John, and six times in the book of 1 John, John talks about what would be expected of a person who is born of God. Okay? So, in John chapter 2, or sorry, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29, he says, "If ye know that he, God, is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a very, very deep book that we are in. Very, very deep doctrinal things written in this book. We're going to have to understand this book in context of the rest of Scripture. Let me explain a couple of things that will help. First of all, he says, if ye know that he is righteous. I'll use this verse as my verse to explain what I'm talking about. If ye know that he is righteous, okay, so we know that God is righteous, right? We all know that. Okay, God's righteous. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. All right, so if we know that God is righteous, then we know that all the Catholics are saved, right? Is that how we put that together? If we know that God is righteous, then we know people who go to Mass and take the sacrament and get baptized and give money to the church, we know they're saved. Wait a minute now. Let's restate this. Let's say if we know that he is righteous, then we know that everyone who is righteous like he is righteous is born of him. You see, because some people have a righteousness that isn't righteousness according to God. So he's not saying, if you go out there and you see somebody who's righteous according to your understanding of righteousness, that you know that person is born of God. What he's saying is if you find somebody out there who is righteous like God is righteous, then you know that person is born of God. Now, that's one thing I want you to understand, that we're not talking about our opinions when we're in the Bible. We're talking about God's opinions. The second thing that we need to understand is that when we get born again, we're still made out of flesh here, okay? I'm still a human being in the flesh. Now, my spirit has been made into a son of God by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, adopted into the family of God. So now I end up having, let's say, two persons here really not two, but sort of two, if I can explain it in a way that we can understand. I'm a child of God inside, made a child of God inside, but I'm still living in a body that I got from my dad, and he was a sinner. Sorry, guys, he was. I saw him sin with my own eyes. So I've got this body that eventually is going to die and get put in the grave, and then God's going to come around, and he's going to call to me, and he's going to raise me back up out of the grave, but I'm going to be different when he raises me up out of the grave. I'm not going to have this same body that was born of my parents. I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to get a holy body, an incorruptible body. So in the meanwhile, while I live in this body, this flesh of mine has a propensity to sin. It enjoys evil sometimes. It likes things that God says are bad. It wants to do sinful things sometimes. And God comes to me and he gives me some things. He tells me some things that I need to listen to. And some of those things he tells me go against what I would do by nature. And so as a Christian, I have to listen to God and not to my flesh. So if God says I have to do this and my flesh wants that, then that has to go. I have to put that away and I have to do the thing that God wants. So being the fact that we exist in that situation, sometimes Christians still do things that are wrong. We mess up and we commit a sin. And when we do those things, it does not make us one of those people who is not righteous, like this verse talks about. Because the righteousness that we get, not only is Jesus making us holy, but he's also forgiven all of our sins so that they don't count as unrighteousness against us. And so he's taken that sin that exists in us, and he's forgiving us, putting us pure white in the presence of God. All right? So we may look at a person, and we may say, oh, well, that I can say that according to 1 John 1 or 2:29, that person isn't saved because I believe he stole $5 from his brother. He's not saved. But we're not taking 1 John statements like that, because we're going to take this book in context with the rest of the scripture. And what we're looking for in the life of a person who is born of God is not somebody who has absolute zero sin because they're living in the flesh, a sinful body, but somebody who is trying to live like God after they came to Jesus. After they came to God through Jesus Christ, they are now trying to live like God. And in their life, we see the evidence of what we call the new birth. We see the evidence of that working out in their life where they are growing in holiness, becoming like God. Okay? So this gets a little complex to explain it in super simple terms, but this is what we're looking for. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So let's just say that you have a friend, and this friend gets drunk a lot and is living with a girlfriend, which God says absolutely no about. There is none of that until marriage. And things of that nature, you could comfortably look at that situation and say there's evidence that that person is not a child of God by the life that they are living, okay? That's how we would judge. Now, granted, we aren't the judge. Jesus is the judge. He's not even judging right now. There is coming a day when he's going to judge, okay? So we don't have to know, but as we would discern with our ability to discern, we would look at that person and be like, well, he's a religious person. He goes to church. He's been baptized. He claims to be a Christian, but he's not living like one. There's evidence there that he's not saved. All right? That's what we would say. So 1 John chapter 3. Now, we're going to go through the rest of these five, and we won't take very much longer because our time's running out now. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the word of God, we found that in 1 Peter, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now we're going to interpret this verse the same way we interpret all the other ones in 1 John. This is a general understanding of the life of a believer, because John also says in this same book that we're reading out of right here, he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know that even John, when he's writing this book, does not believe that Christians never commit a sin ever, okay? John doesn't believe that. So what he's saying here is he is saying this as a general rule, that when we are looking at the life of a person who's been born of God, he doesn't commit sin. That's what we're looking for, a person who does not commit sin. Now, John chapter 1 John chapter 4, let's read another one. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, let me debunk a false idea right from the start. Imagine a young man and a young woman fall in love with each other, and they say, I just got saved. Isn't this what the Bible says? Everyone that loveth is born of God. And so this young man and this young woman say, hey, this love is good. Love is of God. I actually didn't hear this directly, but I heard the story of a preacher in a church who was married to a woman and was having some level of an affair with another lady in the church. Quote the verse out of the Bible that says love is of God. What a fool. Now, so this young man and this young woman, they fall in love with each other, and they go to do all the things with each other that God strictly forbids in the Scripture. That's not what this verse is talking about. When it says, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. God is going to be the one who is going to define what that love is. All right? Not us. When God defines love, he defines love as first and foremost to God before we give it to a human. Love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind is the first commandment. And if we have come to God and put God first and loved him first and said we would listen to all of his commandments, which is what he wants us to do, then that means that all the love that we give to our fellow man is subordinate to the love that we have to God, which means it has to be, any love we give to our fellow man has to be in obedience to all the things that God says before we can call it love. Or otherwise, it is a pretend love. It's human love. It's not love that God gives. Okay? So, but while we're talking against making too much out of this verse, let me tell you, if you have been born again, you will see the evidence in your life and your heart that God brings you to a place where you love people. The love that God has will begin to be evident in the life of a person who has been born again. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Okay? Now, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So, everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And if you love God, you will love Jesus also, because Jesus is God's Son. That's all he's saying there. The evidence, again, that we are born again is that we love God. All right, verse 4 of the same chapter. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, this is a tough one. John wrote to us that we should love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, he's talking very specifically about all the things that could take a person's heart from God, including things that are non-moral and are clean and right. Okay, he came to Peter, Jesus came to Peter one day, and he said to Peter, do you love me more than these fish that you caught? That was all it was. Now, how many of you guys think God has a problem with fish? Do you think God doesn't like fish? Do you think there's any sinful fish in the world? I don't think there's anything wrong with fish, but God was concerned about Peter's heart that Peter might like the fish that he was catching more than he liked God. And that was a concern to God. So we're not just talking about cigarettes and alcohol right now. We're not just talking about sin. We're talking about all the things that are in this world. If you love those things in a way that takes your heart away from God, then the love of the Father is not in you. So, in this fourth verse, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Jesus overcame the world when he was here. And when we're born of him, we become like him because we become one of the sons of God. So we overcome the world too. Now one more verse, 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. All right. When Jesus came to Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, if you want to go to heaven, you have to be born again. Because you were born of your parents, and your parents are sinful, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. No flesh is ever going to go to heaven because it doesn't meet God's criteria for holiness. So if you want to go to heaven, you have to do more than just do righteous things. You actually have to be born again. Not born of your mother, where you become flesh, but born of God, where you become one of the sons of God, and then as one of the sons of God, you become holy like God also through the work that God will do in your soul. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Horses have horses. Skunks have skunks. Dogs have dogs. People have sinners. And when God makes you one of his own sons through Jesus Christ, you become the son of God. And in order to go to heaven, you have to become one of the sons of God. And if you're going to become one of the sons of God, then you're going to have to become like God, and you're going to have to choose to live like God, which means you're going to have to stop living according to the desires of the flesh, and you're going to have to start living according to the desires of God and according to the commandments of Scripture, where you start loving your neighbor instead of yourself, and you start obeying God instead of obeying your lusts, and you start doing righteousness instead of doing sin. All those things will take place in the life of a person who is truly born again. And if you see a person or you want to be a person who wants to be one of the sons of God and you want to be born again and you want to go to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, but you don't want to give up your life of sin, I can only tell you one thing. You will be lost. You will not be saved. All right, we're going to take a break. Any of you children?